The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
My first guest this morning is making Irish accessible through song on her Instagram page. Rena Sally Hartman is a musician who writes short, fun songs in Irish for kids and it might even help us adults get our cúpla focal on. And Rena joins me on the Sunday Grill this morning. You're very welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me. Lovely. Carmila.
Tell me, Rena, is Irish your first language? Was it in your family? How are you fluent in Irish?
No, not at all. I didn't grow up speaking Irish at home at all. My dad was American and my mum has like a cúpla focal, but not okay. Not any serious amount of Irish. But I went to Gael schools. So from the age of like 4 to 18, I was speaking Irish every day. And my standard of Irish was probably much better when I was, you know, a teenager still in Gael school. Mm-hmm. But my love of Irish has not diminished at all since then. I still love the language so much.
Have you seen the love of Irish? And like, I have a cladder necklace that I have had since I was about 7. I have worn it every single day for the past 5 years. And all of a sudden, people are asking me about my cladder necklace. And I said it to one of my workmates and she said, "That's because Irish is really cool now."
Have you seen that? True.
Do you think that's true?
Yeah, it's funny. I've been singing songs in Irish for a long time. And so I've been in circles, I guess, where the people I was hanging out with all thought Irish was cool. But it is amazing how suddenly it's moved beyond those circles. And there's a wider decision amongst the Irish population that, like, actually, we all want to know about Irish. It's great. I love it.
And it is like where Irish has got huge. Social media seems to be where it's at. And that's where you are at as well on Instagram. It's about a year now since you started putting your fun short songs up there. Is that right?
Yeah, I started putting up little short songs in Irish and I really don't see myself as a social media person at all. It's only in the last few days that it's gone a bit crazy.
Really?
And I've got thousands of followers. Yeah, before that, it was just a few of my friends. I was putting them up there for fun. I mean, most of my work is in person. I do concerts in the National Concert Hall and the Arc and sometimes libraries and places like that. The putting stuff up on Instagram was really just because I wanted the instant gratification of writing a song and finishing it and posting it that day, you know, because it's good fun. Whereas often when you're recording music, it can take, you know, weeks of rehearsing and booking musicians and everything. So the whole social media thing, the whole being successful on social media thing is very new to me. I don't know what I'm doing.
Days new. So a few days, really.
Yeah, a few days, yeah.
What happened? Did Kneecap share one of your songs? Or?
It was actually Imelda May, I think, shared one of my songs.
Amazing.
And that's what made it go crazy recently.
I love them, though. Like, they're so, like, cute, maybe. Is that a bit disparaging? I just love how short and fun. Can you give us one of them as an example? Like, my Irish is terrible. It was really about rote learning, you know, thon, Gonal, Suspair and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah. But even me, I'm looking at you singing thinking, I know what that means. And I don't even need to know what it means. It's just kind of absorbing into my brain for some reason. Give us just an example of one of the songs.
So here's one that I've been doing recently with my own toddler.
Okay.
And he really enjoys it because it's got lots of alliteration that he can, even though he's a toddler, he can say the words and so he enjoys it.
Okay.
And it's really simple. It's Kirkle, Cairn, Oak, Tree and Thorn, Banana, Anna Bui Agusbanya Bon Sula Clusa Biola Kion Call of Agustron A Won.
I love that. Now, go on, tell us what it is.
That he loves.
Okay, the banana bui.
Well, banana is banana. It's the same word. So it's always helpful to have a word in there that even if someone has no Irish, they can latch on to. Banana bui is a yellow banana. And banya bon is white milk. But again, it's all those B sounds. They're easy to latch onto and to say banana bui or spanya bon.
As you were singing that, I was like, until we got to the white milk and the nose and all those bits, it's like I don't know these words. It's almost when you're watching the video, they are easier to understand when you're watching your videos on Instagram.
It's so true. There's little moves that go along, which obviously don't translate to radio, apologies. But little dances or moves to try to explain. Or even if you don't understand the words, that it's just fun to say or to listen to. Yeah.
You have one up there as well about your cuss and your, you know that one? Will you tell us that one? Yeah.
Cuss, cuss, boulibus, and it's got a little dance.
Yes.
I always like at concerts having a song that has a dance that kids can learn instantly because it's always just great crack to get some movement in. And so it's cuss, cuss, boulibus. Snofson ishka tamon on bus. Timple stop timple a reach lamesen air agassi she is.
Lovely.
So Cuss-cuss is just foot-to-foot, so you stomp your feet. And boulabus, most people understand, is clap your hands. So it's good fun to do.
Yeah, it's great. And as you said, the moves as well are great. And it's a great way to learn the body parts and driving the bus and all those bits as well.
Yeah.
How's it going? I know it's only a few days, but what's the reaction? Are people sharing them or...?
Yeah, people are sharing them. And it's very interesting to be walking around to get recognised. I've never been recognised for my work. I used to joke that I only ever get recognised in the playground at Stephen's Green by kids. But recently going about getting coffees and stuff, people have stopped me and said like, oh, I love your little songs on Instagram.
How nice.
And people have been very kind, really lovely and kind. I've got no internet backlash.
Lovely.
And I hope it stays that way.
I hope so too, because it'd be very strange to get internet backlash from people that have small kids, really. And are you? Does it kind of put the pressure on to have to put up more songs though?
Well, actually, the great thing is that I got funding from the Arts Council last year to create an album of children's music, which is currently being mastered and will probably be released in the next
Amazing.
Week or two.
Brilliant.
So I have a whole collection of songs ready to go.
There you go.
So it's kind of perfect timing. They're not all in Irish. They're not all the exact kind of songs that I've been posting on Instagram. But yes, children's music. That was written specifically for primary school age children.
So that was a bit of serendipity, wasn't it? That was kind of meant to happen, that you have that instant PR machine in Instagram.
Yes, absolutely.
I saw you said as well that you believe that children's art and music doesn't always have to be sweet and happy. And I loved hearing that because kids love a bit of, like, think about the Roald Dahls and All of the World and Orphan Children. And they love those sorts of stories. And we kind of run a little bit scared from those these days, don't we?
Yeah, I think we forget sometimes that children have the entire emotional range that adults have, maybe even more. They have much more access to their emotions and all the hard things in life that we all have to deal with. Children also deal with in a slightly different way. I mean, I hope that they're protected by the adults in their lives from some of it, but they still go through it. And so I think that the arts, music and the arts in general, can be a really great forum for them to interpret the world around them, express their feelings, feel their feelings in a safe way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a really important aspect of children's lives and education is the arts, I think.
Totally. And I saw you also had some interesting thoughts on learning music, and you feel that kids should learn music collectively. And that really resonated with me, Rena. It brought me back to being 8 and sitting at a piano, just me and my music teacher, who was my mother for most of the time. And I really see what you mean. You said as well that, like, if kids are good at football, you don't suddenly, you know, bring them to lessons where it's just them. So a collective means community as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally. And throughout the whole history of the human race, I'm sure, I don't know loads about history, it's not my strong suit, but I'm sure for thousands of years, we were probably always making and learning music collectively. Mm-hmm. And this idea that to be good at music, in air quotes, I'm doing air quotes there on good, to be good at music, you have to be able to sit quietly in a room one-on-one with an adult and study in that kind of very directed, very strict way. That's the only way to be good at music. Is probably not in line with how we've evolved. You know, probably for thousands of years, we were all making music as part of our everyday while we were cooking, while we were walking to school, while we were washing things and everything. And so I think I love whenever there's an opportunity for children to make music communally together, you know, in like cultus or in brass bands, choirs. I love choirs, ukulele groups, but also at home, just with your parents, singing along with the radio, making up silly rhymes. I think that's such an important part of music education that gets, and just daily life, not just music education,
gets
kind of swept under the rug. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, it's lovely. Your Instagram is just gorgeous. If people want to check it out, it's Rena Sally on Instagram. Get in there before the thousands get in there that are coming, Rena. And you can see some of those lovely songs that you can learn for yourself or for your kids. But it's a great way to see some of those words that you might have learned in Irish in primary school yourself being used. Rena, thanks a million for joining us. That's Rena Sally on Instagram. And that is Rena Sally Hartman joining me on the Sunday Grill this morning. Thanks, Rena.
Thanks so much for having me. Bye-bye.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
Let's talk to our next guests, because one of them is going to take part in quite the feat. They are Stacey and her granddad, Michael. Michael Ridgway lives in Adamstown in County Wexford, and his granddaughter, Stacey, thinks that we will all agree that he is pretty amazing. Michael is 75 and he's done some amazing feats in the last 12 months already. He's done some scuba diving, hand gliding. He got his first tattoo and much more. And it's all to continue him and his late wife's love of adventure. And this month, Michael is climbing to the base camp at Mount Everest. And did I mention that Michael is partially sighted? Well, Michael and one of his 9 grandchildren, Stacey, joined me on the Sunday Grill this morning. And you're both very welcome.
Thank you so much.
Stacey, we might start with you because I know people aren't very good at bragging about themselves, but what is it about your granddad? Tell us about him and what makes him so special.
The most kindest person that I've ever met. He just goes above and beyond for everyone. He is always cracking jokes. He will always make you laugh. There's not a time that you're with him that you won't be laughing with his incredible jokes. And he's just the kindest. He really, really is.
And he's had a hard 12 months, as they were a hard few years, really.
Yeah, about 4 years ago, our Nana passed. And yeah, their love is like no other. It's like out of the movies. So it was obviously very hard for when she passed. But I feel like he has this new lease on life now, and he is just taking on everything that comes at him.
So, Michael, you're very welcome to the Sunday Grill. You're based in Adamstown in County Wexford. You moved there a few years ago, did you?
Yes, my story would be, I was born in Dublin. I'm a Dub, and I'm a twin. And we're only a pound each when we were born. We were 3 months premature.
Okay.
And the doctor wouldn't give us the day to live. And 75 years later, we're still here, thank God.
Wow, are you still identical living. Twins?
Yes, identical twins, yes.
Oh, okay. And so you're kind of grabbing life by the horns, if that's how you started off at life.
Yes, I met the love of my life, Journey, when I was 18. And we joined in the civil defence. We were preparing for nuclear war. And we got married at 20. We were 4 wonderful children, Ron and Nissel, Fergus and Sarah. And then we... Well, I lost my sight, most of my sight, when I was 53, had to retire.
Wow. And how did that come about, Michael?
I was macular degeneration. The fact that we are born so premature and everything, obviously, is that side effect, like, you know. And so we sold up everything in Dublin and we moved out to this wonderful parish of Adamstown.
Very good. And that was 22 years ago. And how has life been? Has it been hard enough to get around as your sight?
When we came down, Geraldine, I taught Geraldine how to drive a year before we came down, and that paid dividends. And we joined the Active Age down here, a wonderful organisation, New Ross Active Age, and we went all over the world with them. I had all that wonderful time with Geraldine from 53 up to that time, and all that special time with Geraldine. And she loved adventure, I loved adventure. We went everywhere and all over the world.
Wow. Is there anywhere in particular that stands out that the two of you did?
Well, I tell you, I'll be an hour telling you all the places we went.
But where was your favourite?
Well, one of the actually adventures would be like we're in Russia. We were in, went down the submarine and thought the Bahamas and met the Jamaica and Mexico and, you know, the Mayan temples in Mexico. And but Canada, went all over Canada, and that was brilliant. But we actually got caught in Gaza in a gunfight between the Israelis and the Palestinians.
Wow.
And then we were held hostage for 4 hours with the Palestinian army before we were released. That was a whole different story.
I'm presuming this wasn't with Active Age then, Michael.
No, that was it beforehand. Yeah, okay. Yeah. We went to a lot of places with the Active Age, but we had a lot of it. And generally, I ran the New York Marathon when I was younger.
How did you end up in Gaza? What were you doing in Gaza?
We were on a pilgrimage. We went there twice to Israel on a pilgrimage. And that time you're coming back from the north of Israel and you had to come to Gaza. And we just came in at the wrong time. The war had broken out. And yeah, so it was pretty scary already.
So you were held hostage for 4 hours?
Yeah.
Wow.
One of the bishops was on the first bus and he was taken off and he went to see Arafat to negotiate our release. But the Irish, we had the chance to leave a couple of weeks earlier because it was all breaking out. But every other nationality left. But you know, the Irish, we hang in there.
Well, Stacey, I hear what you mean by the fact that your granddad has loads of brilliant stories. And
yes.
What a life. So now, I thought it was such a feat that you were climbing to the base camp in Mount Everest, but that just seems like another thing that you do, Michael.
Well, since Geraldine passed, it's a huge void in my heart, and I was just trying to fill that empty space that can't be filled, you know, with adventure, because she loved adventure. And then my grandson, Aaron, said, I was only doing it for myself. And then my grandson, Aaron, said to me, he says, would you not do it for charity, raise money for charity? And then I thought, he says, oh, that's exactly what Geraldine would do, because she was so giving and caring. She cared about everybody, and she'd always go that extra mile for everybody. So I said, in her memory, then I'll go that extra mile for charity.
So you're raising money for Mary's Meals. Tell us a bit about that. Mm-hmm.
Well, Mary's Meals is the most wonderful organisation. It really impressed me because I met Mary's Meals. I got introduced by Mary's Meals to Martin Colfer. He's a real foot soldier for Mary's Meals down here. Totally voluntary. There's an awful lot of work on Mary's Meals. And it's actually Mary's Meals is summed up by the word hope. H is for high percentage. 93% of all the money collected, which is so high, that goes to the end user, the people that need it. And all with the organisation. They're very frugal, very tight ship. No frills, no waste. Every penny is accounted for. And P is participation. Over 100,000 people in Malawi actually volunteers organised it to get all the food ready for over 3 million people, children, every day they feed. And E is for education. So they run it through the schools, so the children will come to school for the food and then turn, get an education, which is a powerful mix.
Amazing. Amazing. And like you said, they're serving more than 2.6 million children every day in some of the poorest communities in the world. So really amazing charity to get behind. And as you said, some foot soldiers there in County Wexford as well. You can check that out on marysmeals.ie. And if you go to their fundraising section, you can see Michael's page and why he's doing this. Can we just talk about this now? So you're doing Mount Everest sits at around 18,500 feet above sea level. You're going to be
18. I was told it will be challenging.
Okay.
But when we get there, it'll be. I'm actually going with a wonderful travel agency called Earth's Edge.
Okay.
And there's a group of 13 of us going, and it'll start off quite warm. But then when it goes up there, you know, the base camp is 17,500 feet, and it will be challenging because as you go higher and higher, the oxygen drops to 50%. And then when we reach base camp, we actually go 1,000 feet higher again to get the view of the sunrise over Mount Everest. We travel through the night and with torches on our heads. And then we arrive where the big plateau where you can see the sunrise come up over Mount Everest. But the biggest threat will be we struggle because of 50% oxygen. It is a struggle because we walk up there probably 8-10 hours every day. And the altitude sickness is the one.
That's the one you
don't want to get back. You get back in serious trouble. But for me, the fact that I'm partially sighted.
Well, Michael, I was going to say that we haven't even talked about that much because you've done so much. And is that the biggest challenge for Mount Everest?
Oh, it would be, yeah. Because the biggest threat to me now would be the Bigfoot Yeti. In fact, I can't see him sneaking up on me, you know. And,
I'm sure there's people there to protect you. I hope you don't see Bigfoot now. That would be a problem. Yeah. Michael, you are amazing. Stacey, I'm sure you know that anyway about your granddad. But what would you like to say to people, Stacey, if they want to give some money to charity or like... plenty of people, even though it's such a feat, do walk to the base camp, but this is something a little bit extra special, isn't it?
Definitely. And like Grandad, he has a goal of hopefully to reach €5,000 for Mary's Meals. So we have set up an Instagram page. It's 75 Climbing Everest. So that's the number 75 Climbing Everest. And we have a GoFundMe link there. And any donation, you know, big or small, I'm sure Grandad and we all would appreciate any donation at all.
And Michael, like, I know this sounds quite glib, but you're so inspirational. Like, there's plenty of people who wouldn't do half the things that you do. Is it just in you, do you think? Or do you try to see the positivity in everything? Or
Yes, yeah. When I lost my sight, actually, that was probably the best blessing that ever happened to me.
Really?
Because I had all that extra time with Geraldine. I wasn't walking then, you know. And the way I look at it is, thank God I didn't lose all my sight. You know what I mean? That's the way I would look at it. Yeah, I would always look on the positive side of things.
Always look on the bright side of life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listen.
That's Brenda to a T.
Oh, it sounds like it's been so lovely to talk to you both, Michael and Stacey. And if you want to check out Michael and what he's doing, that Instagram page is probably the best one to go to, Stacey, if you want to give it to people again.
Yeah, it's 75 Climbing Everest, and we have a link in the bio, and we're kind of doing some updates on that as well, so people can see an update on Michael's progress.
Brilliant.
I just want to say there, I'm paying for my own trip and all my own expenses.
Good stuff.
Every penny that's donated is going to Mary's Meals.
Going to Mary's Meals. And you're going on September 25th, so not long now.
No, not long now. Yeah.
And do you set out on September 25th, or is that the start of the climb?
We set out.
Okay. Dublin. So what date do you hope to be starting the walk?
Well, probably a day later.
Okay.
And we'll be 13 days on the mountain.
13 days. Wow, Michael, you're amazing. Stacey, you're a very lucky girl to have a granddad like that.
Oh, I know.
I hope you raise loads of funds. And Michael, enjoy every minute of that. What an experience. But it sounds like you've had many experiences down through the years with your lovely wife, Geraldine, as well. Thank you so much for talking to me on the Sunday Grill this morning.
Thanks so much, Orla.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
It's the Sunday Grill here on Beat. Okay, let's talk to my next guest because they've created something really special for people experiencing pregnancy. It's called My Pregnancy Journals, and Brona Davidson joins me this morning to tell us more about what inspired her to create these journals and how they work. And of course, she is a Southeast mum of two and much more as well. Brona, you're very welcome to the Sunday Grill this morning.
Orla, thank you so much. I'm obviously a big fan of Beat and a big fan of yourself, so I'm delighted to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. And you are going through the 2 under 3, is that right, at the moment?
Yes, yeah. I had 2 under 2 for about 3 or 4 months, and I was delighted with myself. Yeah.
How's it all going? You have 2 little girls, is that right?
2 little girls. I have Brona Bjog. She just turned 3 and just started preschool. Lovely. And then I've got Saoirse, Saoirse was always my baby name, to be honest, but I had to be egotistical and call my first after myself.
Why not? You did
it all. Saoirse turned 1 in May.
Lovely stuff. So this is all still relatively new to you in a way, but something that really inspired you was a gift. Is that right? That a friend gave you during your first pregnancy?
Absolutely, yeah. So I fell pregnant with Brona, absolutely delighted. She was planned. We were really looking forward to having her. And my good friend Lorena, who is a Johnstown woman, she gifted me a pregnancy journal.
Yeah.
County Kilkenny, absolutely. She gifted me a pregnancy journal. Now, I've always been someone who loved archiving. I was that child that would go through my mom's photo albums and rearrange them and make sure everything was where it was meant to be. So when she gifted me a journal, I was just like, this is amazing. I was really diligent with it, absolutely loved it. And then when Saoirse was coming along, I was like, oh, I don't have a journal, I must go find one. Now, I thought it'd be easy enough with all the baby events I know at the moment. Mm. There's ones all over the country. I was like, oh, it'd be easy to find one. Went into all the shops that I had locally, couldn't find one anywhere. And then I was like, okay, well, I'll go online. Sorry, that's Saoirse in the background there. And it seemed like there was loads, but every time I would click on them, they'd either be out of stock or they'd be not delivering to my location and all this sort of stuff. So I just found it really difficult to find one on Saoirse. So I ended up choosing one. It was, you know, the best of a bad lot, really, but it just wasn't great. The promise weren't fit for purpose and stuff like that. So that inspired me when Saoirse turned 2 months, this time last year, actually, just for myself to create a journal for future pregnancies.
And you say Saoirse is your CIO. She's your chief inspiration officer.
She is, yeah. She is. And you know what? I actually am designing a baby book. So once the baby's born, and Brona is my CIO for that one, because a lot of the journals are 0 to 1 year.
Yes.
And I wish there was like 0 to 5 or something, because all her milestones are after the 1 year. Obviously, there's ones within the first year as well, but she's definitely my big inspiration for the next journal as well.
That's a great idea, because sometimes my little girl tells me about something that's happened in our life and I have no memory of it. And I think if I journaled these things, I'd probably have more of a memory. You know?
I know, that's the thing. You forget it so quickly.
Oh, it gets so busy, you see. Now, what sort of things are, because I definitely had that baby book from zero to one, as you said, but what were you putting into your, into the pregnancy journals? What did you put in there?
Yeah, so I would obviously put a lot of photos in. So I'm a big photo person. I'm a very like tactile kind of person as well. So I just love like things printed. I think everything just gets stuck on the phone these days. Mm. Nothing gets printed. So loads of photographs I'd stick in there so baby can see what mommy and daddy or whoever was up to before they came along. Mm-hmm. And then also I would do a lot of like letters to the baby, like what we've been up to and how we're feeling and all that sort of stuff. Obviously, every pregnancy is different. So for some women, they could have more of a medical route if they were suffering with different things, you know, but like a lot of kind of the milestones of the pregnancy, but also the important events. And I don't just mean the scan. It could be birthdays, it could be Christmases, it could be Valentine's, it could be all the different things that are happening. Maybe a family member has passed away that was happening during Saoirse's pregnancy. You know, so all of these things that really like mark the moment, because it's such a special 40 weeks of your life and it goes so fast, but it also is a very substantial length of time as well. So a lot can happen in that time. Do you know, it's the bulk of a year really. So just really like jotting everything down so that the baby can then see when they get older, oh, that's what mommy was doing, or that's what was happening, or wow, you all look so young. You know.
And you have 115 pages in it, so lots of space, and it's a lovely, what's the word, simplistic almost design. No, it's got a lovely classy cover on it as well, and A4 in size.
It's actually a bit greater than A4. It's quite, it's quite big. It's like, and yeah, it's really built to last. So for me, it's not just something that just goes into a cupboard and collects dust. I wanted it to be like a keepsake that, you know, your baby would love flicking through, your child as they get older. Maybe when they're having kids, they're showing it to their kids. So it could be your grandkids that are looking at some stage. So I wanted something that was like really special that you'd be proud to show off. A lot of those pages are for photographs, actually. So I noticed on the two journals that I had on the girls, there was a bit of photo space, but just not enough for like what you've been doing for such a long period of time. So loads of space for photos and mementos and scans and all of that, but also dedicated space for your bump, like dedicated letter space for your baby. And, you know, all the like little special things, like every single week of the pregnancy, there's a couple of lines there where you can be writing down what you've been up to, if you've been up to anything. Maybe you went on holidays, maybe you just went for a walk in the park, maybe you already have children, so like kind of jotting in what they've been up to as well. Like obviously Saoirse's pregnancy journal was a lot more Brona centric, whereas Brona's was just about us, you know. So you know, so it can be really inclusive of like older siblings as well, even if you haven't done a journal on them. You know, it's a really kind of special album, really. It kind of doubles up as a photo album once it's done. And you know, everyone loves a photo album, so you can always just show it to your friends and family. It's built to be shared.
Lovely,
you know?
Lovely. Well, you have an Instagram page. It is My Pregnancy Journals, if you want to have a look at that and the different pages and everything. And that's journals with an S. You were at the iVerk show recently. That's where Aoife from Beat News met you, actually. What have people's face-to-face reactions been like to it?
Do you know what? They love it. They all just say it's gorgeous. People that have already had children, everybody has parents. I wish something like this was around when I was pregnant, or oh, you know, I didn't do it on my first. I don't know if I should do it on the second or the third. Do you know, that kind of thing. And just like, oh, I'm not much of a journaler. But then once they really look at it and they see, you know, how inclusive it is, and with the photographs and everything, you know, even if some women, I've sold it to people who are in their like last couple of weeks of pregnancy. I've sold it to people that like they haven't even told anyone that they're pregnant yet. It's mostly actually people buying it as a gift. So a mother buying it for their daughter, their son that's expecting, or a sister buying it for their sister, or a friend buying it for their friends, people buying it for baby showers and stuff. So it's really kind of more of a gift product, which is where the likes of the iVerk show would come in. Everyone knows someone who's pregnant or who's trying to be pregnant or will be pregnant, and to have it in the back of their mind that something like this does exist and it is nice quality.
Gorgeous stuff. Well, you can check out Brona's Instagram. It is My Pregnancy Journals if you want to have a look at that. And she has a website up there as well. Brona, best of luck with it. You're busy already with two under three, but you're taking on a new little business as well at the same time.
Oh, why not my third baby?
Yeah, exactly. Thanks so much, Brona, for talking to us on the Sunday Grill this morning.
Thank you.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
It's the Sunday Grill on Beat. Let's Talk Movies. This was one is on Netflix. You can watch it straight away. Four irrepressible retirees spend their time solving cold case murders for fun, but their casual sleuthing takes a thrilling turn when they find themselves with a real whodunit on their hands. It's based on a Richard Osmond best-selling novel. I have read it. Can't remember much about it. I've also watched this. Can't remember much about it either. It's called Thursday Murder Club. Let's have a listen.
Dear God.
Tis a lot of blood.
Would you care to join us to discuss things further?
Who is us?
I'm sorry, how rude of me. We're the Thursday Murder Club. We investigate cold cases. It's a club about murder.
Does sound a bit bonkers.
In breaking news,
there's been a murder. An actual murder.
The victim appears to have been bludgeoned to death.
Now we've got a real case to solve, isn't it wonderful? Obviously, RIP and all that.
And how do we catch them?
What we need is a man or a woman on the inside.
Would you like to be investigating the murder?
Who do you think you are, the head of MI5?
We'd better get started.
Yes, intermediate knitting starts here in 1 hour.
The police are making a list of suspects right now.
He had plenty of enemies.
I'm not worried about the cantankerous old farts.
Police work is off limits to anyone who isn't the police.
Plunker.
So they are the voices of quite the stellar cast. Mm. We have...
Helen Mirren.
Helen Mirren.
Pierce Brosnan. Ben Kingsley.
I was stuck on the Helen Mirren. I kept thinking, is her name Heather? And there's another one, very famous.
Jonathan Pryce.
No, Richard a female. No, the female. Oh, the four.
Celia Imrie.
Yes. She's in lots of stuff.
She is.
The thing about Thursday Murder Club, which I've also watched three quarters of, and that might let you know how many black puddings I'd give it, is that it... Yeah. Well done.
Thanks.
Is that it's directed by Christopher Columbus, and he is a man who has been behind many iconic movies.
Yeah, he founded America to begin with. Fair play. Well, he thought it was somewhere else, but
what a great name!
Look, these things happen. But no, he's probably most famous for Harry Potter and that kind of a wholesome family vibe, which is definitely in this. To be fair, he's also produced like Nosferatu and all random other things, but he's mostly based in like family stuff.
And he did loads of teen movies. He wrote the screenplays in the 80s. Things like that you'll know straight away, The Goonies. Like The Goonies is a Sunday afternoon watch. Have you seen The Goonies?
And you know what? I would say this is the same. It's a Sunday afternoon
watch. Yeah, he did Gremlins, Adventures in Babysitting, lots of, you know, that real 80s feel. Is this quite the same? It's quite wholesome in a way, isn't it?
It is based. It's based around family a lot.
Okay.
So you watched three quarters of this?
Yeah. You see, where do I start? I read the book.
Okay.
And I found the book. Like, I would read a book a week. I read really loads and loads of novels. I weirdly found this quite confusing. There's too many characters, and I found this the same in the movie as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, it's great to put a face to the different people, but what I find about Thursday Murder Club is there's too many suspects. You're a bit like, huh? He's doing that building weird thing. He's doing this.
Yeah, to be fair, I agree with you in a sense, but they do keep throwing out random people and being like, "Yo, this person."
Yeah.
And then there's like no payoff for them being suspicious.
And the book is quite the same.
Okay.
So, all right, tell us where we are anyway.
Okay.
So in a very fancy nursing home. I've never seen as fancy in my life.
The fanciest nursing home that we'll never be in.
Yeah, we'll never get there.
We're not. Radio doesn't pay that well. But it's basically Helen Mirren, Pierce Brosnan and Ben Kingsley are in this nursing home and Celia Imrie has just arrived.
Yes.
There. And she is like a war nurse or like a trauma nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And Helen Mirren sees her as an opportunity to help her to figure out like just extra little things about cases. They do these cold cases that they go through on a Thursday, hence the Thursday Murder Club, which I actually think is quite a
cool idea.
You know?
Great idea.
There's a bit of an irony that like Helen Mirren plays this person who is like keeps throwing around that she might have been like a spy type person in like the MI6 type person, which is quite funny because Pierce Brosnan, who was James Bond, is right there.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, fair play to you.
Looking nothing like James Bond, by the way.
No, he's closer to Mamma Mia Pierce Brosnan than he is to James Bond Pierce Brosnan. But at the same time, he is pretty chill. Like, Pierce Brosnan just seems like the chillest dude you've ever seen. Like.
Mm.
But it's nice to see these characters get something that's not just, oh yeah, this is, they're all going to die.
Yes.
This is just...
Or this is their last hurrah, you know?
It's essentially a coming of age movie for people in their 70s.
Yeah.
Which is something that doesn't happen very often.
This. Yeah.
But it is, it's like Chris Columbus is notorious for coming of age movies. So it's nice for him to be able to like contribute to that whole kind of vibe of still as you grow up, like it's different issues. I couldn't relate to a lot of stuff because a lot of it is based around children and like your relationship with your children when you're older, which, what am I supposed to do with that?
You just can't do anything
about
that.
But it's something that I feel like people would resonate with a lot. Yeah. I feel like my mom would probably enjoy it.
Like there's so many familiar names and faces in it. Like David Tennant is in it.
David Tennant is in it. Richard E. Grant.
Yeah. Daniel Mays, who you might remember, was in that BBC show that's really massive.
He was also in Chicken Run.
Oh, yes. He was also in Chicken Run. But he was in Line of Duty. That's it.
Oh, that's the one.
He was in Line of Duty. So really familiar UK British actors. And I think that's what it makes it quite lovely because it's got a lovely setting and it's very plummy, but there's murder going on.
I feel like it'd be the kind of like movie set to be on where everyone's just really pleasant.
Yes.
Like there's no drama on this set. Everyone's like such a professional that they just kind of lash it out. They have fun with it. And the director is so chill and it's so like, it's so warm. It's such a warm film despite being about murder and stuff.
Why did I not finish it then?
Yeah, why didn't you finish it?
I just don't know. Do you know what? Also, it's on Netflix. It had a cinema release in August. Now it's on Netflix. And I scrolled the whole way through it. So
oh, really?
That's my problem.
But is it a case of because you've read the book as well, you weren't paying as much attention because you can lob in and out? Like?
Yeah, maybe. I read the book a long time ago, so I'm not remembering a lot about it. It's good to put faces to the various people. Like Ben Kingsley is a coup for that character, for example.
To be fair, all of them are good fits.
Yeah.
Like, it's like Celia Emery is very kind of like crazy, whereas the rest of them are all cool. And she kind of like, it's the perfect.
Kooky.
And it's the perfect kind of character for that. Like, so I don't know. I actually think it was such a wholesome little movie. It's not like sometimes things go for too much and they miss.
Yeah.
Whereas this is like, let's just make something like settled in this one little town and we can figure it out then. And it's a nice little storyline with it.
Now, there's lots of Thursday Murder Club books at this stage. So I presume they're signed up for many, many more of these.
I didn't hear anything now, if I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't even know there was many books. It was based on a book written by, that's all I saw.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the kind of thing that they're going to franchise. Maybe if it's like if it's a hit on Netflix, maybe they'll do like another one or another two.
It's good, like you said, it's good Sunday, Saturday afternoon, family viewing. You know, there is murder involved. There's no gore or anything in it. So it's an easy one to watch as well if you're sitting at home on a Sunday trying to find something to do.
It's very much a family thing. After Sunday dinner,
definitely
sit down and watch it. Like.
So tell me, give it some black puddings.
I'll give it like... because you watched 3/4 of the movie, I'll give it 7.5. Like, it's just one of those like pleasant movies that's like,
it's
that was
fine.
Nice. Yeah, we saw that, and in a year's time we'd be like, oh yeah, I remember we saw that, and he was in that, of course. And it's a movie that's not going to set the world on fire, but I feel like for some people they'd be like, oh, that was really good.
Yeah,
that was really nice.
Okay, so 7.5 black puddings for the Thursday Murder Club. It is available on Netflix right now. Now, we had a big work party on Friday, so you couldn't actually go to the movie that I'm forcing you to go to this week. So next week, you're going to be reviewing Keeping It With the UK Plumminess. Ta-da!
I'm not sure which one you're talking about.
Downton Abbey.
Oh, Downton Abbey. I thought you were going to say Conjuring. And I was like, I don't think that's the same one we're talking about.
No. So a little bit of Downton Abbey in your life. And let's have a bet right now. How much do we bet? How much do we think that Brian is going to come in and won't have watched Downton Abbey because he is a lone wolf and does what he wants?
I know, I'll do it. If it's to prove a point, Orla, I'll always do it.
Okay, good.
I thought you were going to say, what's the bet I come in? And I'm just like, yeah, I didn't really care.
I went
for
the Conjuring.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, 7.5 black puddings for the Thursday Murder Club. It is... they're on Netflix for you right now. Enjoy it. Brian, thanks a million.
No problem.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.